Hello, and welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver, and it is my delight and it is a privilege to be able to give you meditation instruction and to sit together. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes. We're going to start momentarily, so please take your seat and get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or in a chair with your feet flat on the floor, and both are equally excellent. No need to sit on the floor cross-legged if that hurts you, or if you have back or neck problems. As you get settled, I want to, I'm kind of excited about what I want to do. As you may have heard in the Buddhist canon of knowledge, the Buddha Dharma, there are four noble truths. The truth of suffering, which doesn't mean the truth of everything sucking, it means the truth of everything changing. The cause of suffering, which is not wanting the first one to be true. That the cessation of suffering is possible, yay. And the fourth noble truth, that there is a path for alleviating this suffering of truth number one and two. And that's why we're all meditating. We're not meditating because, you know, everything's awesome, let's just throw some meditation on top. We are all here because of some kind of discomfort or difficulty or anxiety, depression, or just wanting to be a better person and feeling the sadness of not being that person. So the fourth noble truth is the Eightfold Path. There are eight steps that if you take them, your suffering will stop. As this is a money-back guarantee from the Buddha. However, before we go into them, and I want to spend each of the next 8 weeks just briefly discussing one of them, and they're cyclical, so don't worry if you miss one. You can go back and listen to the one you missed, but it doesn't matter. You can just dive in wherever you are. I want to just make special note that this has nothing to do with a religion, and Buddhism, in fact, has nothing to do with religion, even though that may sound strange because it is considered one of the world's religions. However, since there is no deity in Buddhism, it is non-theistic, it is just as right to think of it as a kind of philosophy or a science of mind, as it's sometimes called. But I like to call it a super advanced form of common sense, because in my practice of now more than 20 years, that's what I have found it to be, just this profound, shocking common sense about what it means to be a person and how to approach the circumstances of your life right now. So I just want to mention that so you don't think it's any kind of woo-woo weirdness. So the first of the first step on the Eightfold Path is called right view, which means seeing things correctly, which is always a good start when we set out on a path of any kind. We want to have the right view. We want to know what we're doing. We want to be able to see clearly. We don't want to be, you know, blinded and shrouded in illusion and confusion. We want to be clear. So what does right view mean in the spiritual sense, in the super advanced common sense sense? Here's my way of explaining it. If you would imagine with me, please, the following. Everyone in the world, myself, you, everybody, has the equivalent of some kind of a movie playing in their mind 24/7 about what this means, what that means, who you are, who I am, how reality works, pleasure, pain, ideas of all kinds. There's a very complex movie. The script was written, who knows, by your childhood, by your lifetimes of experience, by pains and pleasures you've experienced, whatever they may be. This movie has taken hold, and it's detailed and quite dramatic and kind of boring in some parts too, let's face it. And what I'd like you to imagine is that we each have a projector lens in the middle of our forehead. And everywhere we look, our movie projects onto the environment. And anybody who walks through is now in the movie. And we cast them. Okay, you, I don't know you, you're boring, you're a stranger. In my movie, you're a stranger. Not interesting. You were mean to me, I don't like you. Okay, now I've cast you as an enemy. You, I think I might like you. I think I might want to sleep with you. I'm casting you as my love interest. Excellent. Please play your part well. News headlines that you read, you bring them into the script. Everything you see, everything I see, becomes part of this movie that's playing already. Here's what right view is. Right view is turning off the projector. Doesn't mean the movie disappears. The movie's in there, but the projector goes away. And instead of viewing everything you see through the shroud of your own illusions, because all of our movies are kind of illusory, because where are they? They're only up here. That drops away in right view. And you see, imagine, what would it be like to encounter people and circumstances of your life without this movie? Just imagine that. That's right view. So, something to contemplate before we go to our practice, which we're going to do right now. I just want to caution you that saying shut up, stop playing, is not the way to get the projector to turn off. No act of will or intellect will get this projector to drop off, drop away, this lens to drop away. I'm going to tell you what makes the lens drop away, and I'm going to tell what I'm about to tell you, I am absolutely certain about. And it is what we are fixing to do right now. It's called the practice of meditation. That is how the lens gradually softens, dissolves, and just falls away. It happens in your meditation that you can do right now, maybe just for a split second, but then those seconds pile up. And next week we'll talk about what happens as a result. Once there is right view, then you can have right intention. You can go into your life with the intention that it matches reality. Next week. So let's practice. So, to begin your practice, forget everything I just said and just make the intention of being right here. Right, by the way, in Sanskrit is translated as samyak, which means complete. So, right intention, complete intention, completely intending to be right here. And more about that next week. So, now is my time to meditate. Everything else can wait, absolutely no problem. Let your hands rest, palms down, just above your knee or at mid-thigh, in some way that is just comfortable and easy. Sit up straight as a kind of proclamation of your own elegance, your own capacity for right view, which you have. There's no question. Let the front body soften, the belly, the chest, the throat soft, the back strong. Let the shoulders relax. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth are slightly parted. So there's no clenching. The breath is natural, in and out through the nose. Unless you have a cold, then make do. And the eyes are open because we want to be awake. And it's hard to be awake when your eyes are closed and the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front of you, And let the eyes be soft. Let what you are looking at come toward you as if it could move toward you a little bit, so you don't have to reach out with the eyes. Place your attention on the breath. Feel your body breathing. The rise of the inhale and the fall of the exhale. Your mind will continue to make thoughts, no problem. Don't try to stop thinking. Instead, if you notice that you've become absorbed in thought, say to yourself silently, thinking. Oh, I see what I'm doing. Thinking. Let go. Totally. Bring your attention back to the breath and begin again to feel the rise and fall of your body breathing. And if it, boom, it happens 1 second later or 1 minute later, no problem. Repeat. Thinking, let go, come back. Thank you so much for your practice, and thank you for practicing together.